If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, oh, oh. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd is here, and the lights are on, and they wanna show. Oh, 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 yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Spotlight. I'm your host, Kente. This is our first show. The Spotlight is a show that will feature filmmakers, modders, and other people in the world of machinima. Tonight's guest is Ben Tuttle.
Hello.
Hello. We also have as a co-host, fellow filmmaker and voice actor, Neon Sun. What's up, Neon? Hello? Hello. Well, anyway, before we start our interview, I'd like to go to a clip of Ben Tuttle's first, his newest machinima. It's entitled Farce of the Zombies.
Do you want to know something? Even though I'm a zombie, I don't feel like eating brains, you know. Isn't that in the slightest bit odd?
That's so weird, because I didn't feel like eating brains either. I didn't say anything because I thought you'd think I was crazy or something.
No way, you know, I mean, come on, you know. Why do zombies eat brains anyway?
I know, right?
Help me!
Hey, look, another zombie. Hey, wait here, I'll be right back, okay?
Hello, that was a clip from your brand new film, Farce of the Zombies. Welcome, Ben Tuttle.
Hello. Hello, Kente.
My co-host is having some problems, so it kind of threw everything off. But first, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
I am a machinima filmmaker with the movies. I'm a voice actor, and I'm a very bad modder.
Hi, welcome back. I'm sorry, Neon.
Hi, guys, I'm sorry about that. Don't know what was wrong with the computer, but hi, everybody. It's nice to meet you.
Nice. Real quick, tell a little bit about yourself, Neon.
I started a website about 13 years ago called Tower of Z Online. 2006, I came on YouTube, and I did a couple of fan dubs, one of them Sonic X-Ray, the movie. Since then, I've been doing this ever since. I've done chat panels, Let's Plays, and now I'm starting to get into machinima now by getting the movies tomorrow, so I love TMU, and I'm glad to be here co-hosting, so.
All right, we wanted to make sure everybody knew our co-host. Now, back to our guest. Our guest is Ben Tuttle. Okay, so how did you get into machinima? When was the first time you heard of machinima?
I don't know. It started way back in December 2007. I did get the game in July 2007, but I started seeing these movies. I'm thinking, wow, that's something I can't really do. That's I'll give it a shot, and it turned out to be one of those that was harder than it actually looks type things. And I made these little short films with subtitles, and didn't know much back then, and.
most people do start off with making the films with the subtitles. I did that myself. When you first did your films, what did you do with them? I mean, was it just for your family? Did you put them online?
Yeah, I just put them online. I did show a few people these films, and they're thinking, oh, that's weird. This is, I don't know, just that awkward silence pause type of reaction, like, yeah.
Where'd you post your
That's,
videos?
Good. On the
no,
TMO.
No, where
website.
Did you post them? Oh, TMO.
Yes.
The movies online. What was the first film that you did, or first the scenes, what were they like?
Just basically just the type of stuff without no subtitles, no editing, no music. That was the first film I'd done. It was pretty bad.
Do you remember what was going on in it?
It's something about evil television attacking people.
How did you do that with the movies?
I don't know. I just don't know. I can't remember, but...
How long was your progression?
Oh.
Before you got to be a pretty good filmmaker.
I didn't start... I started making these short films. I didn't really start adding any voiceovers till like May-ish 2008, I think. I got something from 2000. I got the movie Stunts and Effects and Magics in January 2009, and before that, I can say it's I just didn't do much a lot back then. I just basically used the basic, the movies editing software and no free cam, but I can't imagine making films like this.
So was there any good inspirations that got you into the movies or films? You know, because we all usually have our inspirations from film directors and such. Do you have any?
Oh.
That came across your mind?
Let's see. I was pretty much one of those wacky kids back then. I loved simulation games. I got the movies. I thought this would be a fun thing to make my own movies, but a lot of people inspired me. Back in the TMO days, Rick Vargard, Chris62, someone named Spaceman. Monk, if you remember Spaceman, he made some kind of Mars series or Jupiter, yeah.
The TMO days, Chris62, and you mentioned Rick Vargard. What was it about their films that inspired you?
Oh, they were really, I mean, it's really good, really professional stuff that I thought I would never do in the movies. I'm thinking, this can't be something, I can't imagine doing this. And
Well, I know, I remember the first two films I saw, it's funny that you said that, was Rick Vargard and Chris62. It was the Kayana? I think
Kayana?
Kana, there you go. That was the first film I saw, and I remember being like, wow, man, I can never do that like that. You know,
no, that same reaction.
He had like sheep in it, and I'm sitting there like, you know, where's this sheep at? You know, like, you know, I'm looking all through the movies disc for the sheep.
Yeah, me too. I was looking through. It's like, let's see where it is. Where's the medieval stuff? Oh.
And then, you know, and then also the shark. I said that I was on Ken and Roger's show, and I remember seeing the shark and going, you know, where's the shark at? You know, like, it was pretty impressive that what they were able to do with a very limited game. You know, they were able to make pretty good films.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing that was the Terrace and Blue Screen helped a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Oh. Can't imagine making a film without it anymore. No way.
As a cinema artist, you probably watch a lot of computer cutscenes as they, like, part of pre-renders like God of War 3 or Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Have you taken any inspiration from those or learned any additional techniques that they probably might use that's probably crossed over to the TMU community and try to exploit for your films?
I did get inspired by a few things, mostly some video games. I thought about there's a few video games I want to try making movies out of back in the early days, but I thought I couldn't do it. Trying to remember a few games I remember.
It seems like everybody wants to do, like, Resident Evil. That's like,
yeah, that was actually one of them I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
Resident Evil 4. I was addicted to that game. But...
Yeah, this is such a visual game. So you know the it looks great. You know, the gameplay is really good. So, you know, I know there's a big debate about whether the old school Resident Evil gameplay is better than the over-the-shoulder running gun. What do you think? Where do you stand on that? Which one do you prefer?
I've seen the old camera styles of the Resident Evil first games, like where it's way up high, looking down at you. Kind of, I like the old over-the-shoulder shot. I mean, it's pretty. I had no complaints about that. It's just Resident Evil 4 is just that girl that you have to save. It's always a pain. <'Cause
she's laughs> Ashley, right?
Yeah, Ashley, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was fun. When it usually comes to filming, filmmakers usually try to map out the scenes in our heads ahead of time. Do you storyboard your scenes, or do you freestyle?
I do storyboards. I started doing it ever since I made Phantom of the West. It was pretty much the first film I've done with storyboards, and it's pretty ridiculous.
How long does the story?
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
You can go on.
I'm sorry. How long does it usually take you to storyboard your films? Does it usually take you a couple of hours, a couple of days, weeks?
It depends on which shots I'm taking. Some of them may take a while, like a few hours to do, but it won't take weeks for a film. I mean, for storyboards alone. I may draw something up and think, that's not good enough. You know, go back, if I see it, film it, and refilming it and reworking it.
Now, how did you develop your process? Did you get any pointers from other members of the TMO family, or is this something that you totally developed on your own?
Basically, I got a lot of criticism. I've been following it pretty closely. Mostly criticism. I've been reading books lately. I've been taking a few classes. I pretty much learned from criticism as much the same as taking a class on filmmaking.
What was the first film that you can consider like your first like real machinima film, you know, where it wasn't a test that you know, was it Phantom of the West?
Yeah, it was Phantom of the West was my first machinima I actually really liked.
Can you tell us about it? Tell the audience about that film.
Phantom of the West is a western about a female outlaw named Catherine, and she became an outlaw after her husband was wrongfully sent to death by this corrupt sheriff, and she goes out and basically shoots the sheriff and runs away, and this small town civilian named John tries to, he sees her, he's kind of recognizing her a little bit, and then at the end he tries to arrest her, and for reasons unknown.
Right. How'd you come up with that idea, that storyline?
Well, I listened to a few tracks from Fargo, and this was for Johnny's Newbie Festival. I'm thinking, well, what can I do differently? I mean, I wanted to do something very different, something that hasn't been on TMU that much. And the first thing that popped up to my mind is a Western. I'm thinking, all right, that's good. Let's see what's more. And I started thinking a little more, and that's... thinking, well, this can't be a normal Western. I can't make it the sheriff walks in town, defeats bad guys. I'm thinking, let's take it from the outlaw's perspective, but make it this outlaw very sympathetic. You want to sympathize towards too. I'm thinking, well, all right. It was more planning, more thinking. I'm thinking, all right, it has to be a female outlaw. I mean, you never see that in Westerns at all. You're barely...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Do you stay exclusively on TMU, or did you just, would you want to cross over to YouTube? And if you were to, I'm not saying you would cross over, but if you guys ever crossed your mind, and if you did, have you tried to approach any official people in Hollywood who might be around, not just our YouTube, but TMU, the other sites, MySpace, or anything like that?
I've actually submitted a few videos to other sites. YouTube is one of them. I sent one of them to machinima.com. Didn't get much reaction, so.
Machinima.com, I'm glad you brought them up because I know a lot of people on TMU really have a negative point of view on Machinima.com, and how do you consider Machinima.com? And then after that, tell us how you found out about TMU. But what do you feel about Machinima.com?
Well, I look around this Machinima.com once in a while, and some people there are very immature. They always kind of like, hey, I want to be a part of the YouTube Directors Program. You see a lot of threads about that, and I'm thinking, no, why do this for money? I think a lot of people do it for. I've seen people where they complain, like, I'm making money from this, ha ha ha, and I'm thinking, well, what's the point of it?
Right.
I even replied to one person who's like, oh, it's about making money. It's like, no, it's not. It's about expressing your creative ideas. If you're just doing it for money, when what's the actual point?
Right.
And there's some people there that I affect. They do reply in a very smart way. They're not this very immature 12-year-old bunch. There's only a few people, you know, I do respect, and they do talk pretty smart people.
How'd you find out about TMU?
Pretty much word of mouth. I was in the old TMO days when it started closing down. People was like, hey, this new website's starting up. You want to join, Ben? And I'm thinking, all right, sure, we'll see what happens. So here I am.
All right. So how long have you been here now?
Oh, since like August, since this, a couple of days after this started, right? August 2008-ish, 9-ish, or 2008, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's good that you found this site. I mean, I really find it really nice community, you know. I mean, I'm quite pleasantly surprised that I got a fast reception when I posted some videos. But your view, is this community probably one of the best for Machina animators to really be at? Or do you think they should go somewhere else or should stick here? Because from far as I'm concerned, this is a pretty great place.
Yeah, I can say this is probably one of the best sites for Machinima and animation. You know, people are very helpful. You just have to know, you know, you got to ask sometimes. If you need any help, I'm sure someone will step up and say, I'll help you out. I never really had any issues when it comes to TMU.
Now, we talked about Phantom of the West. What was your next film after that?
Let's see. It's just this. My mind's a little blurry with this.
Was it The Assignment?
The Assignment came a little later. The next one was, a small short film. It's supposed to be like a comedy about the average pretty girl cliche in a horror movie. You know, the pretty girl always dies first. However, you know, this time the pretty girl pretty much shoots the zombie or the threat.
And what was that called? Do you remember?
It's called Down the Gravel Road.
Oh, okay, Down the Gravel Road. Okay. And then it was The Assignment was next, right?
Then it was a few other short films. Don the Rickroll was something I planned up in the MX.
What's that one about? Yeah, I mean, I can imagine from the name.
Yeah, it's basically how someone invented the Rickroll. It's like, this has got to be the stupidest idea I've ever heard of. Mind if I send it to a few people? Sure. Then Galaxy Tours was for a kids' advertisement contest. Everything was almost all green screened. It's just a kids' advertisement. It's a small advertisement about space tourism. I even released it on the day of the 40th anniversary of the moon landing.
So, that's great. My question to you is, have you run into any post-production problems? Trust me, I understand that.
Several. Let's see, my editor usually crashes. It happened before. I had hard drive problems, the reason why Farce of Zombies took 16 months to make.
16 months?
Yes.
Were you making you sure it wasn't like Cleopatra or, you know, some epic...
The Ten Commandments?
Ten Commandments, yeah.
No, it's just... I filmed it like at least 10 times because everything kept crashing, plus I was pretty picky about the scenes.
Wait a minute, you filmed the whole thing many times?
Yeah, at least 10 times through. I just kept thinking, oh, here's one scene. Well, I'm not going to like it. Crashed the first time, then the others I just keep refilming as I go along. Yeah, you know, making constant improvements.
Oh, my God. If I was working on something and you like completely finished it, like you completely finished it and had to do it all over again?
Yep. It happened a couple of times.
I'd have had a freaking heart attack. People don't realize, you don't make machinima. That's a lot of work to go down the drain. You know, man. I don't like to lose scenes, let alone the whole piece.
I'm thinking after I finish this project, just imagine if I would have imagined the amount of work I've put into this production and pretty much thought at the beginning, I wouldn't have done this project at all. Not from the start.
If Ben Tuttle, 2010, like you started this in January 2009, right?
Yeah, or December 2008, January 2000.
All right, December 2008. So if April 2010, Ben Tuttle could go back in time to December 2008, Ben Tuttle, and what would he tell him?
What would he tell him? Prepare to lose a lot of your hair. You'll lose a couple of years off your lifespan, but it'll be worth it.
Oh, God.
I still have my hair, though.
Oh, you know, you always can get that spray on here. The Rogaine. All right, Nia.
Yeah. Make sure to keep that hair on your head, man. But I think Bob's beautiful, so...
Wait a second. Can't remember if it's... My dad's bald, but my mom told me that my mom's side of the family usually shares the baldness gene, I think. I bet they're not bald. So, I don't know.
Okay, so Farce of the Zombies. That's your latest project.
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, what was the genesis of Farce?
Hippie King and I were talking about this, and this was an old film I used to make called Farce of the Zombies. It only got one review on TMO. It was pretty much the same, almost, not really the entire same thing. It's just about a guy who named Simon. He's living up in this bar with this really jerk of a bartender of his boss, just yelling orders at him, like, do this, do that. He's like, you know what? Wait until I get something, be a big comedian. Like, you suck at it. And basically, zombies are out, and he's going out rescuing his friends, and it's just a fight to survive, but...
So in 08, December of 08, you decided that's your next project. So, what's the first thing, like, when you start this project, what was the first part? Obviously, it's the script, right?
Yep, but the script took me about 40 days to write. It's basically thinking, all right, here's what we can do. We're going to start out this really stressed out guy, and he's pretty much trying to fight and survive through this zombie apocalypse, but I'll be recycling old material, some old material. Nobody's seen my films back in the day, so no one's going to notice. And he's speaking.
That's a good idea, actually. Especially the good material, right? You wanna use that again so people can, you know, on a bigger project.
The intelligent zombies that came from three films, zombie films of mine. I just keep bringing them back.
Hey, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a movie or anything where the zombies spoke. That was different. Zombies actually having conversations with each other and being funny.
I started making a quick teaser out of it. I'm thinking, you know, I gotta make this. So we made three zombies, like Kit, Asa, and I. We're pretty much we're talking. We're like, hey, do you know what? So we're zombies now, huh? Well, okay, I don't feel so bad about it. I don't see why people made such a big deal out of this. Or something like that. And it's like, well, I'm hungry. Does anyone want to go get some fast food or KFC or something like that? Okay, sure. Is the door locked? Do you know how to open a door?
No. Ah, crap.
That was a running thing through the movie, was zombies cannot open doors. I never thought about it, but I guess so. But then zombies can't play guitars either.
Nope.
So
they can fly helicopters. They can dance. They can fly helicopters. They know how to use guns. They know how to play basketball. They know how to use gumball machines. And
according to your movie, he couldn't play basketball either. I think he missed every shot, including the layup. So he was horrible. Zombies can't jump.
No.
Oh, that's your spinoff, is Zombies Can't Jump. It's about a black guy and a zombie hustling people playing basketball. It'd be great.
That'd be funny.
But that
came from my terrace and blue screen, you know, Dr. House scene. And the funny thing is, it always changes every single time I play it. I mean, there's one shot, I mean, there's one take where he's doing slam dunks, there's one take where he's always missing, there's one take he's always getting it. I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be a fun game of roulette. We'll just explore and see what happens.
So you got sucky vampire basketball player. That's
yeah.
What came up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. I really enjoyed the smart intelligence that you put into this machinima, dude. Because, first of all, I'm glad that the zombies, you're welcome. You're very welcome. First of all, I like that the zombies are like, well, dude, let's not eat brains. But, dude, this is what I do. But it's like, no, man, they're high in cholesterol. I was like, oh, I never thought about that. And then they start doing a grassroots movement, and I'm like, oh, man, that's pretty smart. Where did you come up with the idea? Was it from basic events from today in our society? Or just
basically, this was parodying society, how much we go into fads and diets. I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm sure that anybody, if anyone zombies up some of their instincts, they're going to think, hey, brains might have calories. Why am I getting fat?
What?
It must be the brains. Let's stop eating them.
You all right? Oh, that's Monk. That's Monk. Okay. I was wondering where that was coming from. That's Monk. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. So that means zombies don't like fried chicken either, then.
Probably. We'll see what happens. I thought about
what's up, Warlord? I see Warlord comes in. And Chris, I see Chris. Go ahead. Neha.
I liked it. It was the nice political humor that made it refreshing. So he did Fox News, and to me it's like, this is what Fox News would do, and then went to MSNBC, and they're like, conservatives is all your fault, it said some witty at the news ticker right down there. I can't, Ben, do you know what it was? I can barely...
Let's see, it was two zombies, take George Bush, not us Democrats.
What was the pre-saying? Because it was funny, but I couldn't understand everything he was saying. And who was that?
Ethan Runt. Ethan Runt and Snowfender made their own takes. I'm thinking, just make up anything, but just blame the conservatives, blame the liberals, do what they normally do.
Yeah.
Even in a big zombie apocalypse, they'll find a way to blame each other.
Yeah. And, that's funny because no other zombie movie's actually done that yet. And I commend you on that innovative part because it's like, mostly the zombie movie's about run around, jokes, childish jokes. Your jokes are funny and intelligent, which really made this movie actually quite enjoyable and probably better than most zombie movies right now. So, I really enjoyed it. You're welcome. Yeah, it's just a breath of innovative fresh air. I appreciate it for me. Let's see, so I see in the credits you had all these, I guess you had a lot of sound effects in it, but I guess someone's going to bring,
Well, I forgot to credit one person for the sound effects. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. It's me. I actually did one sound effect I forgot, but I didn't want, I don't normally like to credit myself, so it was the alarm sound effect, clock sound effect. I do some Foley for a hobby, and most of it came from Fallout. Most of it came from SoundSnap and Freesound, including the Wilhelm.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to have a clip, another clip from Farce of the Zombies, and we're going to have three of your voice actors are coming in. Mike DeBoing, Kathy DeBoing, and Saxy Girl. So we're going to bring them in when we come back from the break. So, Monk?
In an insecure universe, peace comes at a high price. Another new dawn.
I am Neville Scaife, your liaison officer for this operation.
Afterthought.
You heard me, Admiral. All mention of Black Star is strictly forbidden in any media, as I believe you're well aware.
Joseph K.W.
The sooner your pathetic species gets us wiped out, the better for everyone.
Emerald Edge.
You knew the call was gonna come, sooner or later.
Blaze Lee Dragon.
Sheesh, what a dump.
K4.
And just who the hell might you be? God, you've got to be kidding me.
Dulcie.
If I'd known it was you I was picking up, I'd have had security blast you the second you got off that shuttle.
The Tin Man.
There's nothing more satisfying than killing Armage, my ape-born friend.
Killian.
Look at them, lapping it up like cream for the cat.
Mac Weems.
Black Star is as powerful as they come. If she decides to make life difficult for you, trust me, she will.
Jace 180.
A package was brought aboard at Melchar, and as per instructions, it was taken unopened inside.
Sometimes a hero isn't enough.
They're, certainly an eclectic group, sir.
Conquest, Black Star Rising.
Know. the cloud of unknowing. Every satellite up here is watching, waiting to see what the morning brings. May bring sunshine on its
wing. Tell me what?
Matthew, I'm a secret agent.
What? Are you joking or what?
This is not a joke, Matthew. I don't have the time to explain. I have to save Andrea.
Take me with you!
What? Why? You'll probably be getting in the way.
Please. Come on. I always wanted to do something exciting like skydiving, bungee jumping, punching Ryan Seacrest. Shooting zombies with a secret agent. It's a once-in-a-lifetime chance. Please, can I come with you?
Fine, you can come with me. Do you know how to shoot a gun?
No.
I'll teach you on the way there. Come on, let's go.
Welcome back to the Spotlight. I'm your host, Kente, and my co-host is Neon Sun. Say what's up, Neon.
Hey, what's up?
We are talking Farce of the Zombies with director, filmmaker Benjamin Tuttle. Hey, Ben.
Hello.
And we have three new guests. We have Mike DeBoing, who plays Matthew.
Hi.
And we have his wife, who Kathy DeBoing, who plays his wife in the movie.
Yo.
And then we have Sexy Girl.
Hey.
So I guess I will start with Kathy. When was the first time that you were asked to be in this film?
I don't really remember. Do you?
It's been 16 months, so yeah, it's a bit fuzzy, but...
I think it was Benjamin that asked Mike, and Mike asked me if I'd like to take over. I said, sure, why not? Got nothing else to do.
Oh, if I remember...
Marianne.
You were supposed to be...
Is that Mrs.?
The mother.
Yeah.
The first role Ben got for Kate was... the mother of the zombie.
Oh, please call me Agnes.
Oh, yeah, right.
I love that part.
And for some reason, all of a sudden, Ben calls up and says, you know what? I think Kate would be better as Marianne. And, of course, I had to get a new keyboard because at the time I was drinking coffee.
That's another story.
Yeah. And, by the way, you still owe me one, Ben. And... it just went crazy from there.
It's my first role too.
Yeah,
the first role, and you knocked it out of the park. You were excellent.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, what'd you think about Ben about her performance? I know you loved it, right?
Oh yeah, it was really brilliant. First time I heard it, it's like, you know, I do a lot of, before I make the actual film, I do a lot of audio. Testing. I make like this audio movie. I'm listening. It's actually very. I'm thinking this is pretty well done. The way they interact, they seem like they're in the same room together, even though it's recorded at a different time.
We were at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it was, but you know, we would record my lines separately, but we would actually have, you know, the dialogue simultaneously. And it, you know, just to make it better for Ben to just sort of, you know, edit, give him a little bit more freedom or a little bit more rooms should anything happen, you know. So we did, you know, our lines together, but we sent them separately. So I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, huh? I agree.
Now, Sexy Girl, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, so tell the audience about the part you played in the film and how you were offered the film.
Well, I'm trying to remember back that far. I think that was, like, back when I first began voice acting. And
like it was like 2000, right?
And Ben approached me. It kind of blurs together because a lot of people approached me then looking for a girl to play a role. And he approached me and asked me to play this role. And I said yes. And as soon as I saw the script, I totally fell in love with it. So, yeah. And I recorded my lines, but that's, of course, before I knew how to do any good techniques with recording or editing my lines, or the fact that my mic was really bad. So later on, when I asked Ben if he was still making it, he said yes. I'm like, I want to redo my lines. Mm. And he's like, go for it.
That's cool. So did you like Ben as the director?
Oh, yeah, Ben was a great director. Aww. I mean, he kept me updated throughout the whole entire project. Each time the program crashed, he told me. Great.
The whole decade that he took to make the film, right? I'm messing with you, Ben. Now, Mike, you're known as Mike the Modder.
Yeah.
You are known throughout the TMU, DCMF, modding, Machinima community as Mike, the Yoda of modding, you know. And you've put in, over the last, what, month now, you have two films that come out. One, Sins, where you played the deranged priest, Father Lucian. And now you have Farce of the Zombies. Now you're Mike, the VO actor.
Yeah, I'm Mike the Voice.
The Voice, right.
He's multi-talented.
Oh, yeah, I'm a jack of all trades.
True. Yeah, I mean, your performance was excellent. I really enjoyed you in both films. You were really good. So tell me, so do you get more now VO requests or do you get mod requests?
Actually,
Has it caught up to each other yet?
Actually, I did voices for a couple of, since then, I've done roughly, I'd say, 30 or 40?
About that, yeah.
Yeah, 40 films.
Wow.
Small roles. I did a few for Uber Newbie in his Enigma series. I did a few, I was doing voices for our Roger Thong competition.
Yes.
I did a few others for, Puka Shells, his next movie. I did a few others for a little, small roles here and there. Haven't seen much of any finished productions yet, but, as in everything, it takes its time. Sometimes it doesn't pan out. At the same time, of course, modding has been going on. You know, and so it's always a balancing act. You know, sometimes you find the time to do the voices. Sometimes, you know, you go back to the mods and real life takes over for whatever is left of your free time. So
we're doing another movie too.
Oh yeah, we are doing another movie, by the way, and it should be out pretty soon. Actually, you know, it's the story of the production is a little bit like Ben's. We were all done, and then I get a call one day And the producer says he lost everything. His hard drive just went belly up, lost everything, has to start from scratch. Fortunately for us, we keep everything. We do weekly backups of everything we do. So, you know, it wasn't much of a problem, and we even had a chance to go over a few and just, you know,
have a good time.
Yeah, polish them just a little bit. Yeah, and have a pretty good time at it too. I guess, you know. Oh, God, I hate mentioning this, but my very, very, very first role was in... I have to give credit where credit is due. It's the movie that everybody loves to hate, Pet.
Which one? What was it?
You did by The Maverick.
Oh, okay.
And
you did one with Mary, too. A daughter.
Yeah, we did for Mifune Akira. We did right after that. thank you, Mifune. Thank you. we did Tamea, and I was the French. I was playing in French, which was kind of cool, and I also did
natural language.
Yeah, and I also did. It's funny because you don't know it's there, but I was doing the demon, so it was kind of cool. Mifune asked me, so I'm ready to do this demon bit, but I need to do it in French, so can you explain to me, you know, what's this, you know, how I should say this. And after, 10 seconds, he said, okay, listen, why don't you do it, and I'll fiddle around with the voice, and you won't be recognizable, and that'll be just fine.
He's getting the hockey stick out of me.
Oh, yeah. It was so funny because right off the bat I could tell. Okay, Mifune trying to do French. That's horror by itself. I'm not quite sure he's ready for this.
It's like me trying to do with the Scottish accent.
Pardon?
It's like me doing with the Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Ask Matt.
Actually, you do it better.
You're kind of lead character. You did such a great number. One of my favorite scenes.
Hello?
Now
what?
Let it ring.
Well, I can't. Well, okay, I'll let it
ring.
Let it ring.
Hello.
All right. The new Skype.
No wonder.
Sexy girls, I'm picking up. Hello. So.
Okay.
Monk? Oh, okay. So, now?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Alright. This is live radio at its best. Hello? Is everybody here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Present.
Neon, Sexy Girl, yeah. Mike. Okay, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Sexy Girl.
Yes.
How you doing? So this was this the first time you worked with Ben?
Yeah. It was. I know it's the first time because originally I thought his name was Ben Turtle. I found out later that it wasn't.
I did too.
I thought it was Turtle too, but it's Turtle. So.
But yeah. It was the first time I was working with Ben. I forgot, I think I'm, Ben found out about me through, Act 1, Scene 24.
Yep.
Yeah.
We had the clerks.
The clerks.
Oh,
and,
Jorge, right?
Yeah, yep. And this was before Lil Pablo, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was, and, Jorge passed the word along that, I have a voice actress right here, I guess. And that's when Ben got in contact with me.
So Saxy, whatever roles, well, first of all, what was the character you played again? I don't know if you said it, I hope I... What character did you play in Forest of the Zombies? Where, did you play the sister?
I played the, Andre.
At the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, at the bar? Oh, okay. Was there any kind of thing that Ben requested you to, like, sound like to change your voice, or certain kind of emotion when you bring your character, any experiences?
No.
To help define the character?
He didn't really ask me, to do anything very special. I guess my voice suited Rome.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kathy. Hello? Okay.
Well, we're still here. I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, they're having some problems. So, Benjamin.
Yeah.
Okay, so, now you have, the original cast didn't have these actors. So when you recast it with Mike and Kathy, what were you particularly looking for?
I wasn't really picky at the time. I mean, anyone who could sound like an adult.
Wow, that turned out different, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are on high.
Ben. Yes. I didn't hope that didn't come out the wrong way.
That just not picky thing just made, you know, incredible, you know, boost for my ego there.
I've heard Mike's performance before, and when he told me he was interested, I was pretty thrilled about it. I loved his performance in Pei and even and Samaya. I think he'd be great for this.
Yeah. So, Sexy Girl, are there any other voice acting roles in Michelle you have done? This also goes to Mike and Kathy. I mean, I know Mike and Kathy you said, but I'm just curious. Go ahead.
Well, so far on my playlist on YouTube, I have 84 different videos. And, I can't really remember every role I've done. I know the first role I did was in Spoof Ex Machina. Some of my more well-known roles are Little Pablo, and I also played a minor role in White Phoenix, done by Dexter Boy. And I also was in A Day in the Life of a Video Game Chicken, where I played Agnes the Chicken. And I also was one of the main characters in Euphoria Filmer's, mind the title, I didn't name it, Deep Penetration. Yes, the name of the machine was Deep Penetration.
Can you send a link in the chat room so I can check that one out?
Oh, there's something actually.
You could just Google it. Trust me.
My brothers who never really know what I do, I heard them talking about it. It's like they were talking about the White Phoenix film, and I'm thinking, oh, well, they were asking who's in it. So, well, this person named Sexy Girl, this one person. I'm thinking, Sexy Girl, that name rings a bell. Oh, yes. It's that film I have to finish. It's that film I have to finish, all right.
Okay, I have a question to the voice actors who were in Ben's film. You guys had a chance to work with Ben. Are there any filmmakers that you have a wish list that you would like to VO for? I want to start off with Kathy. And Ben can ask this too, because he's a voice actor too. We haven't touched up on that. But Kathy, is there any filmmakers that you would like the VO for that you haven't yet?
I'll do it with anyone. I don't know, especially with Mike DeBoing. But if anybody else wants me to voice, just let me know. I'll be there. Depends what he does or she does. Yeah. Or it depends on the voice. Could be like, oh yeah, baby.
Oh.
Or could be a secret agent. Now.
What about you, Mike?
Well, you know, I haven't given it much thought. You know, it's funny because at first I wasn't too sure, especially after Pay. You know, I'm going, oh god, what am I getting into? But
yeah.
We found it really fun, and getting back to sort of my roots, so to speak, because I did 3 years of filmmaking in college, and knows that, you know, you had to do everything.
Right.
So we did some acting, and I did some.
Yeah.
It's if the script is good, I'll work with just about anybody. I'm an
all right.
Or what can I say?
and sexy girl.
Well, I'm kind of living the dream already because I'm voice acting mostly for Euphorian Filmers Studio, which is a very well-respected studio on Machinima.com. Though, I guess if my dream director would be someone, Russ Scott, the person who makes Freeman's Mind. My dream director.
Oh, yes, Russ. It's great. Oh, sorry.
What about you, Dan? Who would you? You're a VO actor. You got, what, 145 credits? So who haven't you worked with that you would like to work with?
I guess say I don't know. As long as the script's good, as long as it's really good. I've been fortunate enough to be a lead actor in a Conquest film, which the script is really good. Actually pulled me out of a hiatus. There's several people, you know, K4. I'd like to be in a K4 film.
Yeah, because we have some filmmakers in the chat room, so any of these guys, Gabe and Chris.
Oh, Gabe. I like this film.
He's a Gabe person, too.
And Gabe will be the next guest, by the way. But I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show. But Neon, go ahead.
Well, is this the question to me? Well,
No, go ahead and
ask the question. Well, sorry about that. Let's see. What is one of your favorite projects to work on? the voice actors. Well, yeah. What favorite projects you like to work on?
Like what genre you mean?
Well, yeah, I guess you can say it like that. What's your favorite genre to work in when it comes to voice acting? You know, any like drama stuff for the kids? I mean, anything like that. You can go first, Mike.
Well, I really love comedy.
Yeah.
It's funny because after Pe and Say Maya, there was this TMOA series called The Fools of the Community. And I came on as a guest and eventually became a co-host. And we tried to be as funny as we could. And I always, you know, look at the lighter side of life.
No.
And it was, I like comedies. I really love comedies. I'm also, okay, so I'm not that good at real drama. I'm not, you know.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Father Lucian.
Well, you know, I don't know. I haven't had any outstanding roles yet. So except for those two. So we'll see what comes up. You know, I'm willing to try just about anything. No, okay.
You know, you gotta do my favorite line.
Come on,
not on air.
Come on.
You gotta do my favorite line from Sam.
Give me a break. I can't hold myself.
Right. Okay.
Mike?
So,
you got to do my favorite line from Sins. It's not your concern.
It's not your concern, you woman.
As he's discussing about killing her, that is funny. It's not her concern, even though she's about to get killed.
So Kathy, what kind of genres do you like to work in? If he's comedy, are you on the same path as him, or just something different altogether?
A bit the same.
About the same.
Okay. A bit the same thing. I don't know.
Well, let's see. You did comedy.
Comedy. This. I just did two roles.
Yeah, so far. You know what? I'm sure you can do a lot more.
Especially horror.
Oh yeah. No.
Okay. What about you, Saxy? What's your favorite genre?
Well, I definitely love comedy. I mean, especially after doing Little Pablo. I had so much fun doing that, even though it's a short film. And though I also really enjoy doing sitcom type things like Deep Penetration and The Clarks. I like messing around with my voice, like in White Phoenix, how I try to sound as much as like an anime character as I could. But after doing a machinima called Misconception, which has me monologuing deeply with a very depressing emotion, I'd have to say I enjoy drama as well.
All right. Well, Ben, Mike, Kathy, Sexy Girl, it was an honor to have you guys on my first show. And Neon, thanks a lot for being the co-host.
Sure, man, anytime.
Before we close it out, and I'll leave Ben with the last word for as far as the guests, Sexy Girl, what projects do you have coming up that people can check you out in, and how can they reach you if you're available like that?
Well, the big one that's coming up is Spartan Beta. The script is 85 pages long. It's supposed to be an hour long. I play the medic in it. It's a minor role, but still a rather difficult one, because Genghis Khan, the writer, uses really big vocabulary in there. And I know I'm going to have a fun time with that. Also, look out for the new Little Pablo episode coming up on machinima.com.
All right.
So it's on, here's a secret, it's actually on Jorge's YouTube channel right now if you want to see it now.
Yeah. All right. All right. And Miss Kathy?
Yeah.
So where can we, what's the next thing we'll be able to hear you in?
And, I don't know what you said.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, the movie is called One Night Stand.
Oh, wow.
It's produced by Endo, one of the most notorious producers on TMU, TMO, and pretty much everywhere he goes. And it's a very fun project. It's funny because a lot of people seem to have a hard time.
I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, we're sort of laid back, and we are really, easygoing people. So, he did, start a few, remarks here and there, and I thought, well, maybe he has a bad day or something. So, but it turned out all right. And it's a really fun, very adult oriented movie, but it's really, really fun, and I
enjoyed it.
Yeah, especially
I do my own lines.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and she gets to ad lib a lot.
That's natural for me.
Yeah. So it's funny because some of the best lines that came out so far are from her ad libbing. So she's got real good talent for that. So
it's a dream job.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
All right. Well, and of course, we can always get you, Mike, at DCMF.
Yep.
Where Yeah, and there was big DCMF news this week with the Stephen Dyson's Fat Boy. I know you guys are going to talk about that Saturday, right?
Yeah. We're going to be talking about that. It's completely new, and it may be groundbreaking and very in a lot of ways. So something to look forward to on the next show.
All right. And Benjamin Tuttle.
Yes.
Okay, you were the featured guest. What can the audience... Are we going to have to wait another 20 years for your next thing? What's next?
My next film is going to be Fog and Silver Bank at the moment. I'm just starting to work on it. So you should be seeing that hopefully soon.
So, 15 months?
I got to say... 2012.
Oh, well, it's going to be over. Everything's going to be done by then.
Exactly.
You should release it right before the end. And so that's the last thing we'll do as we're dying, is watching your new film.
Yeah. And then we'll blame you for the apocalypse. Yeah, the apocalypse.
Right, apocalypse.
Yeah, right.
And Mia, do you have any last words?
I just want to give a shout out to Silent Night and others on TLZ Productions. I want to thank you, Kente. I haven't done this in years, and it was a great pleasure meeting everybody here. This is so much fun tonight. Thank you, everybody.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, that's it.
Neon is new to the TMU community. I've known him for a little bit now. You signed up under Taz Online, right?
Yeah, Taz Online. Mm-hmm.
If you can put that in the chat room, if you guys see him online, check his stuff out. He does fan dubs, and he's getting into the movies. Good luck with that.
Yes, I am.
You know, but check him out. He's really talented, great voice actor, good filmmaker, good writer. Friend him and check him out. And so thank you, everybody. Next week we're gonna have Gabe, aka Anime Technica. Next week he'll be the guest. So I'd like to thank everybody, and see you next week, same time.
Well, let me add this. Good show. For first show, you got off to a really, really good start. Usually at this time, we will be leading right into the program King, Doc, and I like to call Thursday Night at the Movies, where King, Doc, and who knows who will be able to riff on the movie. But for this week and next week, we'll probably be doing it on Wednesday nights instead. But Thursday night, 10 o'clock, is usually when we will be doing this. It's the time of our usual Thursday night chats that we've been doing. But we decided to branch out a little bit and start looking at some of the worst movies ever made. So
oh, wow.
You can join in and sit in the chat room, listen to us, watch the movie along with us, and that can be lots of fun. I'm looking forward to Kente bringing in a lot of new listeners and movie viewers too. Next week, they saved Hitler's brain. This will be Wednesday night at about this time, about 10 o'clock. And be sure to be here. You can follow along with us as we watch this movie. These are all public domain movies. We're not stepping on anybody's toes. And we usually have a pretty good night with it. Last night you missed Hercules Unchained.
Oh.
One of the gayest movies ever. Okay?
Wow.
Hercules what?
Hercules Unchained. Yes, Steve Reeves oils up for the sequel to Hercules.
Oh, man, I gotta not see that.
Yeah, well, you missed it because we did it last night. So there you go. That's what the kind of thing we'll be doing on Thursday. We're doing Wednesday nights this week and next week because Doc's schedule worked out better. And we actually had Murphy Kidd join us last night. So I think there was, because nobody knew we were doing it on Wednesday nights, you know, there were hardly anybody here. But, hey, I'm letting you know, next Wednesday night. And, of course, Thursday night, 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern. What are you calling this little show again?
What, this show?
This show. Spotlight.
Oh, yeah, and Saturday, real quick, I forgot. I'm going to be guest hosting with Chris on his weekly look show. Mac Weems is, he went to do something with the Loch Ness Monster, so I'm going to be, so I'm working on my Scottish accent. We're going to review films together. So,
if you can't. Rolls, you rars, laddie. That's where
Chris says it sucks.
It's shite.